In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is ever shall be.
One of the commemorations we have for today is the Synaxis of the Unmercenary Healers. And we have an icon of St. Pantaleon here, who is a martyr and said to be an unmercenary healer. An unmercenary healer is one who went to village, from place to place, and offered healing for people and essentially didn't charge. That's unmercenary, didn't charge. Gave freely of their service. What would drive such a thing for someone to do that? Now, there are all sorts of motives that people have for doing things, and so to think that somebody would, of their own joy and benefit and love, would go out and heal other people and do it freely, this sounds rather remarkable in one sense, but unremarkable in another thing, because if we look around our lives, we often see people giving of themselves. But what we don't see is the depth of motives that people have. Where we see motivation is typically within ourselves. It's typically in our response to service where we encounter the possibilities of other people's hearts. So what motivates people to serve? Well, for some, there's a sense of duty that drives them. You can think of I would think of this in military personnel would be a strong one. You know, a sense of God and country. This is what people do. This is what they should do. This is how society should operate. And this would be something that could motivate people. Some people are motivated by guilt and shame. They feel as though what they've been given is sometimes too much, or they simply sometimes just don't like themselves. And so there's something they need to do to make it better. There's something that inside them motivates them to go out and serve each other. Now, within ministry, particularly within the priesthood, you find a lot of people who think they've offered their lives, and they'll say that God called them into it or called them into the church. But as the layers are uncovered, you often find that there's fear and shame, and there's a drivenness, or the other one that I mentioned was, I forgot. Anyways, I don't read lips. You forgot that. There are other motivations. Some people like glory. Our own self-glory is a motivation. We're motivated by power. That's the predominant cultural image of what motivates human beings within our society, within all the political debates we have. The reason is that is standardly given nowadays what motivates people is power. Why did they do this? Why did Constantine build churches? So he could be powerful and he could unite his government, he could unite the Roman Empire. That motivation is a real motivation. What else? Pleasure. That it gives some people pleasure to serve others. Certainly. What about the opposite of that? The avoidance of pain. Whether it be emotional, psychological. But some serve because to not serve, they might feel a certain amount of pain. They may feel even punished. Some people are driven by a sense that if they don't do what they're going to do, that God will punish them. And some are driven because if they do what they're going to do, God will give them heaven. And so it's very simple. The fleeing from pain, the running towards pleasure, power, glory. There are a multitude of reasons that people are motivated to serve God, to serve each other. But the Apostle Paul in his epistle mentions something that should be a framework that ultimately determines why we should be really motivated, or what God could possibly transform us so that we're motivated. And he mentions love. He mentions all the various gifts that are given, prophecy, teaching, preaching, the apostolic ministry. But he says, in a sense, that it's all rubbish, it's all garbage, without the presence of love. That everything offered, if it's not motivated by love, it's like a clanging cymbal. Now, the various things that motivate us to do things within a church community, to reach out, to evangelize, again, all those motives we mentioned can be as a clanging cymbal in the world. And so it behooves us to begin to think of a few things about ourselves. One is, what gifts have we been given? What gifts have we been given to serve the church, to serve not only the people of God in today's gospel dedicated to the unmercenary saints? We see that Jesus takes his 12 disciples. He gives them power over demons, over unclean spirits. He says, go preach the kingdom, go house to house, don't take anything. And when they go out, they come back joyously. They come back surprised because the demons were subject to them. There was healings, there was miracles, and they know it wasn't their fault. They know it wasn't something they did. They know that it was God working through them. And in the final line, Jesus says, freely you have received, give freely. Give freely. So, the proper or the healthy Christian motivation behind service is to somehow come to the terms to see that we have received freely. That's the first cue, is to actually be thankful for what God has given us. To be thankful for the church, to be thankful for the people in our lives, to be thankful for those various moments where God shined through in a very specific way and touched us. To remember those, to meditate on them, and to fill our hearts with that experience that God is good, that he loves us, and that ultimately he has given himself for us in every way possible. That's step one. Step two is to respond out of the grace of God and love. And so our ministry is not for glory. It is not to pat ourselves on the back. It is not to condemn others. It is not for power. But it is because we freely received. And because out of our love for Christ. And we can't love Christ unless we love our neighbors, the people around us. That's at least what St. John says. That we go out and serve others. And this is what motivates the unmercenary healers. And this is ultimately why they were proclaimed as saints. Now, as a final thought, many of us serve in some capacity in this church. And we may serve in other capacities outside of this church within the Christian faith. How do we know whether we're motivated by love? How do we know that we're thankful? And as a result of our thankfulness, we've taken from the abundance God has given us and we've decided to bring that to other people. That, as I think it was Richard Niebuhr said, that as beggars who have received bread, and we're so thankful for this bread that we want to show others where to receive it. How do we know that we're like that? Well, one way is to look for the presence of resentment in our hearts. If we serve in any capacity in the Christian church, and we feel resentment after we serve, it's a challenge for us to look at our hearts. Because it says love never resents. Love is kind. The Apostle Paul, when you're full of love, you're doing it for Christ. You're not doing it for glory. And so you'll never have to resent not receiving that glory. The presence of resentment is the cue. It is the marker that tells us that something is wrong about the way that we approach service. And if it's there, it can poison you, it can poison a community. Because when you have people who resent the ministry that they're offering, I mean, if you imagine reconceptualizing the gospel today, and Jesus sends his disciples out, and they come back, and they're really angry. They're like, man, this person didn't open their door, and this wasn't done, and this, and why wasn't more people greeting me and more happy about my ministry? Who wants to follow that? Who wants to be part of that? Who wants to join a faith that's about power and glory? We can join the world for that. Who wants to join a faith that the people are burnt out and resentful and they don't love one another? Who wants to be a part of that? I mean, we can be a part of that anywhere. But the reason why we honor the unmercenary saints is because they stood above the rest in some ways. They showed a level of love that we don't see out in society. And this is also what we're challenged with personally. That number, well, I mean, I'll give you three challenges and then I'll leave you alone for today. Challenge number one is that we're all challenged to serve. But dig down deep in your heart and see how God has served you. See what God, look for what God has inspired you with. Look what for what he's given you. The challenge number two is that we're to serve in love. That as a result of receiving, we go out and we give ourselves out of the love of Christ to one another first, and then to the world, and of course, to God. And then the third challenge is to check our motivations. You know, there's nothing wrong with serving for power and glory as long as you repent at some point, because it's not the highest way. And it doesn't produce the fruit that it's supposed to. It is only when motivated out of love that the fruit of the Spirit, and that it's no longer a clanging cymbal, but that we can be united together. And that is actually what inspires people to be drawn to the faith. Seeing the love for one another. St. John Chrysostom, in a quote I was reading last week, he said, a lot of people think it's the miracles that would draw people to the church. It's not the miracles, it's the love we have for one another. And if this community has love for one another on a deep and profound way, there is nothing will stop us from growing. Because ultimately, that's what's missing out there. What's missing out there is deep, profound love and service to one another. May God bless us to, and by the prayers of the unmercenary saints, may he heal us and help us love in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst.